The Fulcrum in the Void, Chapter 1, Memories Hurt, Part 2. Written by Erin O'Brien, performed by Stephen McDougall.
Later. "Are you sure you don't want..." Aki began. His head was nestled into Kiva's shoulder, and Kiva's arm was around him. "I'm sure," Kiva said, and hugged Aki with one arm. "I got everything I wanted. But I want to show you, too, you know," Aki murmured. "You did, Mahizli," Kiva told him. "What does a Mahizli mean? You said it before." "It's something my mom used to say to me. Is that weird? It's an OE language. Irish. It means my pulse. Short for my pulse of my heart." Kiva sounded a little embarrassed. "It's not weird. I like it. You can call me that," Aki said. "Kiva, you never talk about your mother." "Yeah, it's better that way. There's a lot you don't know," Kiva said, trying to hide the bitterness from his voice. "I'd like to know, if you tell me." Aki rested his hand on Kiva's chest. "You might not like me so much after," Kiva warned. "I doubt that very much. There's a lot I do already know, after all."
"Oh yeah?" Kiva laughed. "Like what?" "Stupid, I've known you since we were 7. I know you hate everybody except me. And I know you enjoy getting in fights. I know you don't see life the same way other people do. And the rules are blurry to you. I've seen you steal things even though you've got your stipend and could easily pay for it." "Well then, you're painting me as a monster. And I hate my stipend. I don't deserve life to be that easy." "If you're a monster, then you're my monster. And don't hate your stipend, it's your birthright." "Ridiculous, I didn't earn it," Kiva snorted. "It's yours anyway," Aki pressed. "I don't want it, it's blood money," Kiva growled and cursed internally. "What do you mean?"
"Nothing.
Do you know, Aki, did you know I get in fights because I like hurting people?"
"Well, I assumed as much."
"Doesn't that bother you to know that?" Kiva sounded a little worried.
"Not as much as I should, I think. Because you've never raised a fist to me, and I know you never will."
"That's the damn truth. I couldn't hurt you. I couldn't bear to see you hurt," Kiva confirmed.
"Oh, gods of man, how late is it?"
Aki, suddenly worried. Kiva leaned over to look at the bedside clock.
"Late. You want to sleep?"
"Oh, no. No, monster. We only get this night once. Just wanted to calculate the damage."
"So you're going to call me monster now?"
Kiva chuckled. "In private, maybe." They lay quietly for a while, breathing in time. Aki breathed in Kiva's scent. Sun-warmed earth, smoke, salt, grounding, reassuring.
"Hey, Blue Eyes," Kiva asked. "Since this is going to be a thing, I feel like I have the right to ask this of you now."
"What?"
Kiva ran his hand over Aki's shaved head. Don't do this anymore, all right? Kiva sounded sad. Why? You know I can't spend money on a haircut. What difference does it make? Just, you know I can afford you a haircut, okay? I want you to take care of yourself. That includes not looking like a Gallowgate prisoner. I don't know. It's been this way for so long. I fucking know it has. You've been bald since we've met, because your fucking mother would rather buy a bottle of bevy than get her son a damn haircut. Kiva snarled. Aki, I don't even know what color your hair is. It's, brown. Gods of man, it's, brown. Fucking hell, Aki. Kiva laughed. You don't even know anymore. Alright, jerk. You've made your point. I'll grow it out. For you. So, about the black t-shirts. Nope. No. No more changes. Aki sat up and glared at Kiva. He had worn black t-shirts and jeans with black boots exclusively for as long as he could remember. It was the best thing he could come up with to still look put together despite his lack of funds. Just let me get you new ones, you know, that aren't faded. And some jeans without holes? Kiva pleaded. I don't want your money, Kiv. Aki protested. Oh, for fuck's sake. I'll steal it all then, if that'll make you feel better. Kiva spat and rolled his eyes. No. Just leave it alone. I won't, Kiva persisted. Why does it matter so much? Aki looked a little wounded. Need me to be more attractive? Kiva propped himself up on his elbows to scowl back at Aki's pout. No, idiot. Look at you. You couldn't... No. Because... You deserve better than you've been given. You're the only good thing in my life, Aki. You're worth more than you allow yourself to have, so just let me give it to you. You don't owe me a thing, Kiv. I never asked for anything, just your company. I never wanted your money. I already hate taking it for this fucking flat. Aki's pride would not let him give in. I know. Kiva reached up and touched Aki's cheek. There's a reason I choose to live with you. It wasn't just your sad blue eyes. It's because you've always wanted me for me. Not the fucking tawny fortune. All right. Aki relented and flopped back down on the bed next to Kiva. But no designer brands. And I pick them. And they'll all be black. The jeans too. Absolutely. Whatever you want. Kiva smiled. They would definitely be designer brands. Curled together, talking aimlessly, they fell asleep, despite their best intentions. When the alarm rang, Aki sat bolt upright. He was disoriented for a moment, not being in his own bed. He looked around and down, seeing a shirtless Kiva turning and stretching. It really happened, Aki thought in wonder. Where it's real. Without thinking, Aki stroked Kiva's side, over his ribs and waist to his hip. This is mine now.
Please, turn the alarm off. You can feel me up after.
Kiva groaned, turning onto his belly and burying his face in the pillow. Aki climbed over Kiva and got off the bed. He walked over to his nightstand and turned off the alarm.
Oh, thank the gods,
Kiva murmured into his pillow. Gotta get up, you know, Aki told him.
Why? Can't we just stay here today?
Kiva complained, his voice smoky from sleep. Test in ethics today. You know. Your favorite?
Bullshit class. Bullshit. Fucking fuck it.
Kiva said. The pillow muffled his continued cursing. No, not fuck it. If you fail, you can't go to the academy with me. Aki poked Kiva in the side.
What?
Kiva turned his head to look at Aki. Since when am I going to the academy?
That's your plan, and I'm 20. I don't have to do shit all.
You're going because I want you to be with me. And I'm going, so... Also, what kind of life is a meaningless existence living off your family's fortune?
A comfortable one?
And here I thought you hated that money. You're already so bored you chose to slum it with me in this crap heap. And you steal things, and you beat people up for fun. You'll turn into a serial killer if I don't keep you busy.
So you want me to learn how to beat people up legitimately for money I already have?
Kiva asked wryly. No. I want you to go to the Kinemori Military Academy with me, so we can learn to pilot golems together. It won't be just a hollow game anymore. Don't you want to make your own way, like you always said? Aki threw a clean shirt from the closet at Kiva. Get up.
I have another suggestion, Kiva said, sitting up.
His eye looked less swollen, but the purple was setting in. The bruise around his cut lip was livid.
What's that? We take my stupid fortune, move to the beach in Magnolia, and never look back.
Kiva pulled on the pale-colored button-up. Tiny blue triangles dotted the shirt in a regular pattern.
Nope, can't do that. I have to get my mother out of this shithole. And I need that academy signing bonus to do it.
Aki said it with finality.
Stupid. I can just pay for a better place when I'm 20.
Kiva exclaimed, exasperated.
No, asshole. It has to be me.
Really? Is your pride that important?
Every man in her life has failed her. That stops with me. I need to show her.
Aki said.
She fucking hits you. She berates you. Let's be real here. Your mother abuses you.
Kiva insisted.
She has her reasons, Kiva. I understand her reasons. I can bear it. That's sick of Hisley. Maybe, but I'm still doing it. The preliminary aptitude tests are next week. They're bringing the sim pods to the school.
Fuck, Kiva said and stood up. He ruffled his copper hair with one hand, which left it in its usual fluffy, unruly state.
You gotta let me think about this, Aki.
That's fine, you think about it. And then you're going with me. Today for the ethics test, and next week for the sim pods. Aki wrapped an arm around Kiva's waist, dragged him close, and kissed him. Aki pulled back and smiled. I'm gonna go shower. Fuck, Kiva said again. Fuck, what have you done to me? Aki grinned as he walked out the door, hearing Kiva fall backwards onto the bed with a frustrated groan. Aki and Kiva walked side by side to the MAC train. They both carried shoulder bags, which contained their school-issue tablets and, in Aki's case, various OE odds and ends like his headphones and paper books. They walked slowly, wanting to linger before having to switch their behavior and conversation back to normal. Their agreement to keep their relationship a secret was unspoken, but an agreement nonetheless. The Dominion was not very friendly to pairings which bore no possibility of offspring. It was not illegal, or dangerous like old Earth, but it presented social challenges neither of them wanted to trigger. Hey, you have a boxing meet tonight, don't you? Kiva suddenly remembered. Yeah, it's home. Number 3 is coming over, Aki confirmed. Why? Well, I... Yes, you can come. Aki laughed. I've only asked you to come cheer me on a million times.
I didn't want it to look like... I didn't want you to think... Damn it, it's different now, Kiva sputtered.
Yeah, it is. Real different, Aki agreed. Oh, I'm going to be so tired by the time of the meet. And we barely slept at all.
Worth it?
Kiva asked quietly and adjusted his shoulder bag.
Aki smiled and felt heat rising to his cheeks.
He reached over and touched Kiva's arm briefly. Kiva sighed at the feeling of Aki's warm fingertips. Aki's hand fell away. They walked the rest of the way to the MAG train in silence. Aki watched the buildings of Kinemuri City fly by. The train ride from his home district to Kinemuri City High 4 was short, but offered a nice panorama of the city and botanical gardens at one point when the train crossed the skybridge. As usual, Kiva sat across from him. They both tried their hardest not to look at each other much, as if that alone would give the secret away.
Are you going to be able to focus today?
Aki asked the window, but glanced at Kiva.
Definitely, but not on the right things,
Kiva quipped. Aki flashed a grin. Kiva's face grew serious after a minute.
Aki, you realize I probably won't get into the academy, right?
What happens then? Kiva asked quietly, dreading the answer.
Well,
Aki was silent for a while.
Your grades are just about the best in class without you even needing to try, and your physical aptitude should be good because of football. And you're better at mecha gods than me. But if you don't get us in, then we'll do it your way. If we both get in, then great. If one of us doesn't, then neither of us go. All right? I wouldn't leave you behind. Not even for that. But you gotta promise to actually try.
I'll try, Kiva agreed, relief in his voice. I promise.
It will be good anyway, you know, to serve the Dominion like that, to earn a Qualis.
Aki smiled a little and looked at Kiva. Aki had always dreamed of earning a Qualis in some heroic way, in military service. It seemed the appropriate way for him to prove he deserved full rights under the Dominion government. Owning property, the right to vote, the right to have children. Acrolis was the badge that told the rest of the Dominion this person was worthy of continuing the human race.
Well, I mean, I guess? I could just pay sacrifice for the both of us and have done with it, Kiva said pragmatically.
The very wealthy could pay into government services with a huge sum of credits and purchase Aqualis by virtue of their plenty.
Wouldn't you rather earn it? Aki asked, eyebrow raised quizzically.
No. I don't see the Dominion the way you do, Aki.
You know I don't. Kiva frowned.
I'm a throwback after all. We're not very beloved.
Kiva referred to himself by the offensive term easily, but Aki winced.
Primals have just as much right to earn Aqualis as anybody. Besides, I'm a sub-op.
Aki widened his eyes blue eyes.
Blue eyes are just enough to make you exotic. You're not full-blown red hair, paste-white skin, and freckles like me. Kiva laughed. You have just enough primality to make all the brown girls blush.
But they can still take you home to meet Mom and Dad.
Ugh, fine. Point is, I need to do it this way to pick up where my dad failed.
Aki looked at Kiva directly.
Where he failed? You know, it happened right before I met you. It was why none of the other kids would talk to me for years. He was a pilot, a famous one. He deserted and ran from the line of duty. And his family.
Aki finished bitterly.
I'll never run from duty. Never abandon anyone like that.
Kiva laughed.
You and your honor and duty. Ever since you were little, a little soldier boy. It's cute.
Cute? Aki scowled. I'll show you cute later.
Color me intrigued, soldier.
Kiva drawled. The mag train slowed, and the pair disembarked. The stop brought them out near the alley they usually left school by, but they bypassed it this time and headed around the block to the front of Kinemori City High 4. They entered the school through the front doors and headed towards the cafeteria just in time to hear the first morning bell. For reasons of the Shadow Sovereign's preference, the model of Dominion schools was virtually unchanged from those in later ages of Old Earth. Students could have learned virtually, but the government mandated that communal education was necessary for reasons of social development.
See you in ethics, Aki said, desperately wishing he could touch Kiva, kiss him, anything.
Yeah, that damn test, Kiva nodded and glanced at Aki. Aki was looking at him, longing in his bottomless blue eyes. Kiva flashed fire at him, with a wink and a smile. After school, Kiva made his way to the gymnasium to sit in the bleachers and wait for the boxing meet. He was early, so he took out his tablet and started reading. Kiva liked to read. Due to Kiva's irreverent and rebellious personality, most of his classmates were not aware that his grades were among the top of his class, even better than Aki's, who is reputed to be very intelligent indeed. Kiva didn't care, though. School came so easily to him that he hardly studied or made any effort at all. Aki expressed his jealousy on occasion, but Kiva just shrugged. He didn't find eternally waiting on people to catch up to him to be much of a blessing. And it was not in his nature to use his intellect to help them catch up. Let them drown, if they're stupid, he figured. The text he had chosen was the Bhagavad Gita. He had been working through it for a couple of weeks,
when he could get the time alone. He was a little embarrassed by his fascination with old Earth religions. He didn't want Aki to know about it. Not because Aki would nerd out. Kiva would have enjoyed that. It was because Aki had utterly rejected religion, as was normal in the Dominion, and considered science paramount. To Aki, religion was nothing more than a savage superstition. He regularly stated his belief that religion was responsible for most of the failures in Old Earth. Kiva, however, had questions that he was certain could only be answered by the study of humanity's great mysteries. Kiva was deeply absorbed in his reading, and did not notice the bleachers filling up with a smattering of well-spaced people. Boxing meets were never well attended, Aki had told him, but families and friends showed up sometimes. Someone crossed in front of Kiva to sit several feet down the same bench, which jostled him out of his concentration. Kiva looked up and watched the ring being arranged. The boys were on first, 4 matches, followed by 3 matches for the girls. Aki's match was the 3rd. Kiva saw Aki walk out onto the gymnasium floor, bare-chested in red shorts. Aki scanned the bleachers for Kiva, and smiled his lopsided smile when they locked eyes. Aki pointed to his pocket with his gloved hand, a gesture for, "Check your calm." Kiva realized he had been so consumed by the Bhagavad Gita that he hadn't heard his comm beep, and hadn't checked it in quite a while. Meet us out back after the meet. Us? Kiva thought. He shrugged, and looked back down to Aki, who was waiting for his response. Kiva gave him the surreptitious thumbs up. Aki couldn't focus at all. He knew it was going to be a rough match. He had been paired with a quality opponent. Between the distraction and the lack of sleep, Aki was painfully aware that he would not be on his game. He had never been so nervous before a match. For some reason, Kiva's presence had his heart beating too fast. Aki conjured up every mental trick he knew to regain his concentration and get in the game. The fight dragged on. Kiva knew from Aki's stories that he was a good boxer, but none of that was on display tonight. Aki was positively manhandled by the other kid, dropping his guard and even stumbling over his own feet at one point. Did I tire him out that much? Kiva wondered, bemused. He resolved to tend to those bruises later, the way Aki had for his. Eventually, the match ended. Aki managed to stay on his feet and in the game, and last the entire time, but his points were nowhere near impressive. Aki tapped the gloves of his opponent, and they both exited opposite ends of the ring. Aki kept his posture proud, chin up, defiant. He knew why he had lost. And he didn't regret paying that price for what he had gained. The night was cool, and Kiva tugged his blazer close to keep the wind from biting through his shirt. He had walked out the front of the gymnasium and slowly around towards the back of the school. He held a cigarette in the corner of his mouth, on the same side as his split lip. The discomfort helped keep his mind from wandering. Aki stood, leaning on the bricks of the school wall. 2 other boys from the boxing team were there with him, trading stories. Scuffling footsteps came from Aki's left, and the boys fell silent. The first thing Aki saw, coming out of the darkness, was the ember at the end of Kiva's cigarette.
Fire. Always fire, Aki thought.
Kiva took the cigarette out of his mouth and exhaled a plume of smoke, stepping closer. His bruised eye looked ghastly in the pale, faint outdoor spotlight.
Hey, Aki said coolly. How's tricks?
Kiva asked and flicked the butt of his cigarette into the weeds.
Just relaxing after that shit show. Aki's voice was dry. You know these two?
You know I don't. Kiva growled and took another cigarette out of his case. What's up? I'm Kiva. Suspect you already know that. Hey, man. A medium height, dark haired boy spoke up. Name's Asher. We've heard a lot about you. Asher held out his hand. Kiva shook it. Kiva had been taught from an early age how to give a proper handshake. To Kiva, proper meant intimidating. Asher did not shrink away or give in to Kiva's dominating pressure. Good. Kiva smiled, releasing Asher's hand.
All of it terrifying, I can guess. And you, Wallflower? Kiva asked the boy, who leaned with his back against the bricks, feigning aloofness.
James, Olivieri.
Yo, Aki, are we doing this or what?
James's surly voice struck Kiva as... jealous?
Sure, James.
Aki glanced at Kiva, then turned towards James. Kiva kept his distance, an ember in the shadows. James pulled a bag out of his pocket and took 4 rolled sticks out of it. James handed one to Asher and one to Aki. His hands seemed, to Kiva, to linger over Aki's for a while before dropping the joint. Marijuana was legal in the Dominion at 20. At 18, they had to be careful not to get caught. The penalties were stiff.
You partake, Red.
James's voice was mocking. Kiva bristled. It was very impolite to call out a primal's appearance, as if his appearance wasn't obvious already.
If you're offering short stuff, Kiva said, his voice low, treating the smaller boy in turn.
Aki knew that tone. He flexed his fingers slightly toward Kiva, gesturing to him to keep his cool.
Here,
Aki said and held his hand out to James. James laid a second joint in it, then turned away to light his own. Asher watched the exchange with thinly veiled curiosity. Aki brought the joint to Kiva and offered it to him. Kiva took it between 2 fingers and looked closely at it.
Just good old bud, Aki told him. Nothing weird. We do this after every home meet.
I didn't know you smoked, Kiva admitted.
This kid outsmokes all of us, Asher laughed. Usually outboxes too. But damn, he got his ass kicked tonight.
Yeah, yeah, Aki chuckled. We can't all KO in round 1, Ash.
Asher stepped closer and handed Aki the lighter. Aki lifted the flame and lit his joint, then offered to light Kiva's. Kiva accepted. The familiar tang touched his tongue. Not his usual quality, but not exactly cat piss either. Kiva inhaled, then looked up at the sky while he held his breath for a second. When he leveled his gaze again, he saw James watching Aki.
What are you staring at, kid? Kiva asked, his voice dark.
Nothing. Mind your own business, Tawny. Why are you even here in KC anyway? Don't you have an estate to live at?
James snapped. Aki drew his breath in with a hiss. He didn't know how he was going to defuse this situation, and Kiva could be very unpredictable. Kiva took another pull on his joint, closed his eyes. Then he settled his eyes on James and walked forward. He stopped inches away from James, who, to his credit, had not moved a muscle.
What are you going to do, Red?
James mocked him. Kiva stepped closer, blazer brushing against James's jacket. Kiva reached down into his trousers pocket and pulled out his comm. He pressed a few buttons, and dialed up his payment screen. He punched in the going sharp rate of an eighth and passed the comm over James's hand. The comm beeped when it scanned James's ID chip and the credits transferred.
What the f-? James sputtered.
I don't like to owe those beneath me. Call it my treat. Kiva turned his back to James, brazenly inviting attack for the insult. He glanced back over his shoulder when none came, and flashed James a twisted smile. Speechless, James slumped against the wall, holding his joint in his hand as it slowly burned. Aki watched Kiva's every motion closely,
ready to intervene if he witnessed any telltale signs of violence.
He relaxed when Kiva walked back to resume his conversation with Asha, who acted like nothing had happened. Aki shook his head when Kiva looked at him. Kiva smiled apologetically. Finally, the smoke took effect, and calm descended on the concrete lot behind Kinemori's City High 4. Kiva and Aki walked slowly back to the MAG train. The effects of the cannabis had mostly lifted, and they were lucid. It was late, and dark except for the dim sidewalk lights that ran along the ground every 12 feet. "Why'd you never tell me you smoke?" Kiva asked. His hands were in his pockets, his shoes scraped over the asphalt.
"I don't know. It never came up, really," Aki said, but his voice sounded a little odd.
"Uh-huh," Kiva murmured. "It's James, isn't it?"
Aki stammered. "Yeah."
Kiva was always annoyingly perceptive. "What's that kid's deal?"
Aki trailed off.
"Oh. Oh."
Kiva suddenly realized.
"You took... Wait, what?"
"You didn't think you were my first, did you?"
Aki asked wryly. "Well, yeah, I kinda did," Kiva admitted.
"Don't worry, he didn't hold a candle to you,"
Aki reassured him.
"Besides, I don't know who else to get weed from."
"Ugh, well, we can fix that. I know a guy," Kiva proclaimed, and wrapped his arm around Aki's shoulders. The darkness shielded them. They walked in silence toward the MAG train. They sat across from each other again. Aki looked at Kiva, directly. His brows knitted.
"Kiva, what do you do on nights I'm at boxing?"
"Meets and practice."
"You're always vague when I ask. And you never ask me why I get home so late. You're always dead asleep, snoring when I get in."
"You're not going to like this, Aki," Kiva warned him. "But I don't want to lie to you either."
"Hit me."
Aki opened his arms wide. "It can't be that bad."
"Gage,"
Kiva said softly, looking down at his hands.
"What?"
"I go to a cage gym," Kiva repeated, and lifted his head to meet Aki's jaw-dropped stare.
"You what?"
Aki exclaimed. The MAG train shuddered as if in emphasis. Kiva rubbed the back of his neck.
"Yeah, I..." "Have you fought?"
Aki demanded.
"Not yet, but..."
"Oh no, absolutely not." Aki folded his arms and scowled. Kiva laughed bitterly.
"You can't forbid me,"
Kiva admonished him. "It's my life, my body."
No. You forget it's my body now, too."
Aki jabbed his finger at Kiva's chest.
"Isn't it illegal for minors to do cage?"
"Not if they don't fight," Kiva said. "I just spar. No real damage done. They won't let me fight until I'm 20.
"Jesus. You told me all those bruises were from football. You dick."
Aki leaned back in his seat and sighed deeply.
Well, Kiva shrugged. Now you know. If not for Cage, what would have taken a repeater to Force Cafeteria by now?
Damn it, Kiva. Aki muttered, shaking his head. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned therapy?
Never worked on me, Kiva stated. I got frustrated, I got scared, and then my uncle had to pay them off not to lock me up. What the actual fuck?
Aki was taken aback. Usually, Kiva was not so candid.
Don't worry, I'm not a risk. And I'm a lot better now. Cage is part of why.
Anyway, it's not as if you didn't know. Kiva's eyes, usually full of fire and energy, looked dim and saddened. The train car was empty. It was so late. Safe from prying eyes, Aki reached across and took Kiva's hand.
I did know. Some. It helps if I know everything, though.
Maybe someday I could tell you everything, Kiva said. Until then, can you just trust me?
Of course I can. Always. Aki agreed.
And stay the fuck away from James. Kiva smirked. He's short, and I can get you way better weed.
Aki laughed. Don't worry. I can't stay away from him. He's on my team, after all. But he's no threat.
I should have put the fear of gods into him, Kiva muttered.
Possessive already? Aki joked.
Kiva lifted his chin and raised his eyes to meet Aki's. He stared deep, eyes burning, like a predatory animal. Aki's heart slammed in his chest, but he felt no fear. They lay again in Kiva's bed. They had collapsed, exhausted, before even bothering to turn off the lights or change into sleep clothes. Silence for a while, and simple warmth. Breathing.
Aki could smell the faint trace of weed smoke on Kiva's hair, as well as the usual burn of cigarettes. Beneath the smoke was a soft sweetness that reminded Aki of the cat he'd had as a kid. He used to bury his face in the cat's fur and breathe deep. Molo, her name was. After his father left, his mother had never permitted him to get another. Cats were the most popular pets on Hertha. They had been resilient enough to travel, unintentionally, through the stars alongside humans. No surprise, they were simply following the rats who jumped off of the supply craft. There were plenty of ducks and panelling and maintenance chutes to hide in. Cosmic stowaways. Aki shook himself out of his memory of Molo. Kiva's head was on his chest, and his arm was around Kiva, and on his ribs. The texture of Kiva's shirt was smooth, and his fingers slid along it easily. Aki felt an odd impulse. Then, he couldn't stop himself.
Liam, Aki whispered.
Kiva twitched, hard, and his eyes snapped open.
What? Why would you... Don't call me that, Kiva protested, his voice almost sounding scared.
Aki tightened his arm around Kiva.
It's the first name I knew you by, Aki said softly. That's what I've called you for years. It's what I still call you, in my head.
Kiva was silent for a while. Aki could feel him fidgeting his toes, the way he did when he was frustrated or confused.
It's loaded with bad memories, Kiva said. You know I changed it for a reason.
Yeah, but you're still Liam to me, inside.
Aki continued. Probably always will be.
It is a little bit nice when you say it. Kiva sighed
and rolled off of Aki, onto his back. He brought his arms up and crossed them behind his head. I didn't like the things I felt when people said that name. No one ever said it unless something bad was about to happen. Except for my mom. It was nice from her. She picked it, after all.
How bad was it? Aki asked, venturing somewhere he had never gone before.
Even though they had been close for over 10 years, Kiva had always kept his mouth firmly shut about his past, preferring to deal only with the present. Kiva turned his head to look at Aki. His eyes were guarded, lower lids narrowed just slightly.
Why does it matter?
It doesn't. I mean, knowing or not changes nothing about what's going on here. I just want to be able to understand.
I don't really know what bad is. I don't really know what good is. I only know what happened. And what I had to do to make it stop. Kiva's voice was low. I went to 3 state psychs before I was 16 and moved in with you. For repeated infractions at the boarding house. They all said the same thing. Each time, the family paid to sweep it under the rug and keep it off my records.
It would have looked bad on them, you see.
What did the psych say?
Aki was curious. Oh, strong psychopathic tendencies. Machiavellian, no qualms about using force to get my way, stuff like that. Kiva waved his hand dismissively.
Did that bother you?
Aki's brow knitted.
Why would it?
Kiva smiled wryly. Those traits saved me more than once.
Aki murmured.
Kiva turned to Aki again, rolling onto his side. Kiva slid a hand up under Aki's shirt, running his palm along the patch of fur that formed a line down Aki's belly to his chest. You can call me Liam, Kiva said. Aki felt the warmth from Kiva's hand spreading over his heart. Only you. It feels good. From you. Special. Aki nodded.
Okay. Will you tell me what happened to you, Liam?
Kiva shook his head very slightly. Not yet. Not ready. Name is hard enough.
All right, Aki conceded. Then why did you pick Kiva?
Oh, Kiva laughed bitterly. There was this horse. Wait,
an OE horse? Mane and tail horse?
Aki sputtered. Mm-hmm. Kiva's fingers twirled through Aki's chest hair slowly. My uncle Rajit.
He bred them. Egyptian Arabians, he called them. Each one worth more than this entire block. Gorgeous.
The important folks absolutely loved them. Came to my uncle's parties just to stand in the barn and look at them.
Gods of man, you've seen horses?
Aki was awed. Yeah, it's not a big deal, Dingbat. Animals are animals, earthen or earthen, they're all better than we are. Anyway, my uncle said I needed to learn respect and a work ethic,
so he sent me down to clean out the stables every evening.
20 stalls, every evening after school. It's why I wouldn't answer my call until late. You don't know, but it's heavy work. I didn't mind, though, because it was time away from him. And I like the horses.
Wow. Horses.
Shut up. There was this one horse. He was special. His name was Kiva Drennan Goldsinger. You know, like that old hollow show with the space cowboys. He was shiny copper like me, right? And he was proud to a fault. He gave the trainer hell, constantly biting and kicking everybody, including me. But that didn't make me scared of him.
I liked him more because of it. He got me through a lot, just by being there. In the end, my uncle shot him.
He what?
He shot him. The horse was too much trouble, he said. Not worth the investment. Might as well free up the stall for a better product. That horse was too proud. Too free. For this world. And I felt like I was looking at my future, watching his blood sink into the shavings. That was a plan that the Uncle Radgetts of the world had for the likes of me. So after my uncle kicked the bucket, I decided to go by Kiva, to remember that horse. When I hear Kiva, I feel strength and freedom. When I hear Liam, I have painful memories.
I don't have to call you Liam,
Aki offered. Shut up again. I already said you could. It's nice from you. When it's your voice, I remember us as kids. I remember your kindness. When the other kids wouldn't go near me. I remember the you and me that kept going through everything that happened.
How the fuck did I not know all this was happening?
Aki frowned. He felt guilty, like he should have done something for Kiva long before now. Well, Kiva sighed. I'm a master of hiding things.
Gotta be when you're a psychopath.
He laughed. A genuine laugh.
I don't think you're a psychopath, Aki said.
Doesn't matter what you think. Kiva said.
I am. 3 out of 3 docs agree. Whether or not you see it, besides, I've always been good to you. You haven't seen the other side.
I've seen the burning wreckage you leave behind,
Aki said, his voice drawl. Kiva blanched, but recovered quickly.
Yeah, well, Kiva said, as a statement.
He pushed himself forward on one arm and kissed Aki hard. Aki felt like his lips were touching a fire burning with nuclear intensity. Kiva pressed deeper, his touch a command, his presence an overwhelming force. Kiva relented, pulled back, and looked down at Aki's stunned face.
You'll never be the wreckage, Aki,
Kiva said gently. Kiva's fingers brushed Aki's cheek, trailed over his lips, then down his throat. Kiva wrapped his hand around Aki's throat and bore down just a little bit. The pressure sent a shiver through Aki's body. He squeezed his eyes shut. His pulse responded. His blood rose. Kiva chuckled. He knew exactly what he was doing. Aki's eyes opened, and Kiva could see a vicious gleam in the deep glacial blue. Aki growled and pushed his throat into Kiva's hand. As he wrapped his arms around Kiva's shoulders, with a twist of a leg and a heavy push, Aki upended Kiva and forced him onto his back. Kiva's hand fell away from Aki's throat, and he lay prone beneath. Aki straddled Kiva's waist and stared down at him.
Exactly who do you think is in charge here?
Aki's voice was gravelly, threatening.
Just testing my boundaries.
Kiva flashed a wicked grin. Aki brought his face close to Kiva's, then cheek to cheek.
There are no boundaries, Liam.
Aki whispered. Kiva groaned and rolled his eyes back.
You should never tell me something like that,
Kiva warned, humor in his voice. Aki straightened back up.
I mean it, Aki said. I don't want boundaries, barriers, distance. Not from you.
You don't know what you're asking, Kiva warned.
I do. I really do.
Aki assured him. Aki leaned forward and touched his lips to Kiva's. The scab on Kiva's lip was rough, a strange texture breaking up the soft smoothness of their connection. This kiss was different. The others had been fierce, hungry, urgent. This was slow, entwining. Aki's hands moved to either side of Kiva's face, warm palms on flushed cheeks. When Aki finally pulled back, only a few inches, Kiva's eyes were wide. Aki was sure he could see all the way down to Kiva's core. The silence hung between them as they breathed deeply, taking in the momentous implication of what had just happened. Lee. Aki used Kiva's old nickname. Shh, just be. This moment will never come again, Kiva said, a depth of wisdom in his husky voice. Nothing ever happens twice. Let's make the most of it then, Aki said. His fingers trailed up Kiva's inner thigh. Kiva licked his lips and emitted a purring groan. Turn the lights off? Kiva asked. Aki frowned. Can't we leave them on? He didn't want to move. I just... Please? Kiva asked again, more earnest. Sure, but why? I want to see you. Confused, Aki still hadn't moved. Turn them off. I'll tell you in the morning or something. I just don't want to think about it right now, Kiva said. His voice got tighter the longer he spoke. Yeah, sorry, I got you, Lee. Lights off. Aki climbed off the bed and shut off the overhead lights, as well as the light by his own bed. The room was plunged into total darkness. Aki felt his way back to Kiva's bed slowly. He met Kiva's hand reaching for him as he returned. There you are, Kiva said. Darkness is good anyway. Fewer distractions. You're the distraction, Aki complained. That's what all the ladies tell me, Kiva teased. Aki nipped Kiva's earlobe as he climbed back into bed. Not a lady, Aki snarled. Oh, I'm aware, Kiva said. Aki found himself pinning Kiva down again. He could feel Kiva's ribs and belly rising and falling steadily as he breathed. Aki began to unbutton Kiva's shirt, starting with the lowest button. His fingers were sure and deft, and the shirt parted to reveal Kiva's chest. It was covered with a soft layer of hair. Aki knew it was coppery in colour, having seen it enough times. Fox fur. Aki had always called it in his head, because it reminded him of the soft pelt of a red fox from old Earth. Aki rested his hand in the middle of the patch, then ran it down Kiva's flank. Kiva lay with his eyes shut, focusing on the sensations in the darkness. He reminded himself this was Aki, his Aki, and no one else. No fear, no worry. He'd never had a problem with touching, but being touched was a bigger challenge. If Aki could sense Kiva's struggle, he didn't say so. Instead, Aki persisted. Warm, strong, even a bit domineering. Aki unbuttoned Kiva's trousers, and after another moment, Kiva saw stars as Aki's hand closed around him, fingers rippling as they adjusted along his length. Something in Kiva's motionless told Aki that he had never been touched like this. With gentleness, openness. He knew Kiva had spent plenty of nights with girls from school. He was a tawny, after all, and therefore considered a hot catch. But the purity of this experience was different, Aki could tell. He considered that he himself had never been with someone quite like this either. Female, all those times with James. Aki mentally chastised himself and focused. He wanted to be present for this. All of it. Kiefer breathed. You can just do that. Forever, that would be fine.
Not a chance. I owe you for last night, Aki said.
Oh? Kiefer's voice was wary.
Hey, don't sound so worried.
You're in good hands. Aki then nuzzled his face into Kiefer's neck.
I don't know what's up, but it's me, okay? You're with me.
Aki's soothing baritone voice vibrated against Kiefer's skin. Kiefer relaxed to Aki's touch. He felt safe. Something he had rarely ever experienced. When Aki awoke, he found himself curled in a strange position. For a moment he could not tell where his limbs ended and Kiefer's began. They were entwined. He felt a cool wetness on his arm and flank. Aki laughed a little. They must have been really tired to fall asleep like this.
Lee?
No response.
Liam? You awake? Gotcha.
Aki answered. He glanced over at the bedside clock. Normally, he would have panicked. But this time he just laughed again.
Guess we're playing hooky today.